This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. To alert me to, oh Allah, I'm begging you to make me love the deeds that will cause you to love me too. Oh Allah, there is nothing that can compare to the wonder and the joy you bring. Oh Allah, you can fast and pray all day and give your money away, but if you don't love for Allah's sake, Lord.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. Welcome to another episode of The Strangers, this series of episodes in which we have been going through the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he spoke about the strangers. And so he said, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, that Islam began as something strange, and it will once again return as being something strange as it began. فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى. So give glad tidings to the strangers. And there's no doubt that the times in which we're living in today are times in which Islam is looked at as being something strange. And its followers who adhere to it in the way that Allah wants us to adhere to it are looked at as strangers, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. And so in the last few episodes, we have been giving advice, important pieces of advice to all those strangers out there in the world today. And so in today's episode, the one piece of advice that I have for every single stranger out there today is to remain firm and steadfast upon this deen. Remain firm and steadfast upon the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the most difficult thing for the strangers in every single time, in every single place, is to remain firm upon the strangeness of Islam. And so when a stranger ends up in a new place, and here we're talking about not the Islamic version or the Islamic understanding of a stranger, but a stranger in, you know, the everyday language. And so, when a stranger comes to a new country, the people don't know him, and he's a newcomer to a new city, to a new town, to a new country, what does he try to do? The people look at him, they see something strange about him. So what does he do? Does he try to remain upon that strangeness? Yes, there are some who do. They don't care about what people think about them. But most times you'll notice that the stranger, what does he do? He tries to blend in. He tries to end his strangeness. He tries his best to not be looked at as a stranger. And so, what does he do? He gets rid of his custom, of his traditions, of his ways, and tries to adopt the ways, the customs, and even the language of the people where he is now living. And so, the same thing with the Muslim strangers. And so at first, the strangers are strong. When those strangers who decide to adhere to the teachings of Islam, the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stay clear of what Allah has forbidden, and they tread this new path, and they become strangers, at first, they are strong. Why? Because they were awakened. They were awakened from their state of heedlessness. They received admonition, and so they repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turned to Allah alone, changing all their old habits. And so in the beginning, they have a very, very strong iman. And so their momentum is very high. However, as time goes along, just like with everything else in life, the momentum starts to slowly lose its pace. And the ball that was rolling very quick, it starts to lose its momentum and it starts to slow down. And so the same thing with many out there who were once upon a time strangers, who adopted the true teachings of Islam. But over time, their iman, although it was once strong, it started to rust. And so some of them, their iman became so weak that they had a burnout. And they left it all together. And this is the reality that we witness, that we see many times in the world today, among our friends, among those who we knew. Our brother, we used to see him in the masjid. We no longer see him in the masjid. Where is he? Our sister who once used to wear the hijab, she got rid of it. Why? And so on and so forth. And so, the reality is that they don't remain steadfast. And this is the reality. This is the reality of the strangers. So the question is why? Why is it that we find these people not remaining steadfast and firm upon the deen? Why is it that we're finding many people changing? Why is it that we see the iman of many of our brothers and sisters all of a sudden start to shake and tremble? Why have they become weak? What is it about them that is causing them to change? The reality is that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about. That He will not leave us as we are. To simply say that, you know, oh Allah, we have believed in you. We have taken the course and we have taken the path to you. We have started to tread the straight path. The reality is that Allah will not leave us upon that path. Simply to follow it, it's not that easy. Rather, Allah will test us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Ankabut, in the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that they will be left to simply say that we have believed and yet they won't be tested? And then Allah says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah says, verily, we tested those who came before them. We tested those who came before them so that we could see who among them are the truthful and who among them are the untruthful, the liars. And so the scholars who explain these verses, they mentioned that this referred to the early Muslims in Mecca. And this is when these verses were revealed. And in particular, Ammar ibn Yasir, who was one of the early Muslims who had accepted Islam with both his mother and father. And so they were persecuted. They were tortured to the point where both his mother and his father died of that torture and persecution. However, he remained alive. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses, admonishing these strangers in a time when Islam was strange. That do you think that it is as simple as simply saying we have believed and now you're not going to be tested? Allah says that He tested every single prophet and their followers in the same way. What is the wisdom behind that? Not because Allah is mean, not because Allah is strict, not because Allah wants to punish His believing and righteous slaves, no. But as a test, to see who will remain firm and steadfast and who will renounce their faith, who will renounce their religion at the slightest of harms and difficulties. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in other places in the Quran, such as when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا Inna nasrullahi qarib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, do you think that you will enter Jannah, that it will be that easy, and yet you will not be touched with what was afflicted of those who came before you, the previous nations, the previous prophets and their followers, who were afflicted with adversity after adversity, who were afflicted with great hardships, and they were shaken to the point where their messenger and those who believed with him, they said, when is the help of Allah coming? And Allah responds, Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb, that verily the victory of Allah and His aid is soon, very soon, but it cannot come without hardship. It cannot come without testing the faith of those who have believed, without testing their steadfastness and their firmness. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that there will come a time, meaning in the future, there will come upon the people a time in which the one who is patient over his religion, persevering the harm and the assaults and the persecution and torture and the difficulties, persevering, remaining patient, remaining steadfast upon his religion, they will be like the one who holds on to a very burning and hot coal. And so in this hadith, we could see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared the one who holds on to his religion in those difficult times, in the times when Islam will become something strange again. And today there is no doubt that we are living one of those times. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the one who remains patient and steadfast in those days, in the future, he is like the one who holds on to a burning coal. It's not something easy. It's painful. It's hard. But he holds on to it tightly. We'll take a short break and be right back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm begging you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your brother Jamal Badawi, wishing you a blessed Eid al-Adha. May Allah accept your sacrifice. And for those doing Hajj or pilgrimage, may Allah accept your Hajj too.
Discovery through our Islamic path to find lessons for our Islamic future.
Perceive the unusual and consistent progress of Islam due to its unique attitude with the passage of time in Lessons from Islamic History. Tomorrow at 8 p.m. and repeat telecast at 8:30 a.m. Saudi Arabia on Peace TV.
Where truth is hidden, misleading quotations create confusion. Where truth is hidden, lack of knowledge and wisdom cause upheaval and commotion. Where truth is hidden, manipulated scriptures and twisted facts emerge. This very hidden truth creates false propaganda, mayhem, chaos, disorder, and turmoil in our lives and the world order. But is there anyone with courage and wisdom? What is the truth? And who has the courage to expose it? Because it's your right to know the truth.
Watch Truth Prevail and Lies Perish in Truth Exposed by Dr. Zakir Naik, next on Peace TV.
One of the greatest stumbling blocks that lies in the way of the stranger in the times in which we're living today are these tests, these fitan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests His believing slaves with to see will they remain steadfast and firm or not. But the question is, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that? The scholars say that there are two reasons why Allah may test us with calamities, with adversities. They say one reason is because He wants to punish these disobedient slaves of His who are drowning in sin, and so He wants to wake them up. And the second reason is because they are pious, obedient slaves of Allah, but He wants to test their faith. He wants to see how truthful they are. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the first strangers of Islam with. Their persecution, their torture was not because Allah wanted to punish them, no, but because Allah wanted to test them. And so, one of the greatest examples of this, from the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was when we move on after the time of Mecca, after the period of Mecca, onto the period of Medina. In the battle of Tabuk, when our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out to Tabuk, there remained behind in Medina only those who did not respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go out and fight in His path. However, not all of them were hypocrites. There were three of the companions who did not go out with the Muslim army. And among them was one individual, Ka'b ibn Malik. And so he did not go out. He did not go out and fight with the other Muslims. Not because he had an excuse, no, but because there was something holding him back, and that was simply the dunya, and not wanting to go out. And so, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam learned about this, he asked about him and the two other companions who did not go out with them. And so, the companions, they said they are back in Medina, they did not come with us. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to Medina, he was not happy with these three individuals. And so he waited for the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning these three companions. Why? Because whoever did not go out with him, they were considered hypocrites, like the other hypocrites who did not go with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and remained behind in Medina. However, these three companions were known not to be hypocrites. So there was confusion. Are they hypocrites or not? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not jump to any conclusion. He was not happy, but he waited for the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning these three companions. Now, the story of Ka'b ibn Malik is a very, very long story that he himself narrated. And it is found in the books of Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. And so, because the story of Ka'b ibn Malik is a very long one, mentioned in the various books of Hadith, it's mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, because it's a very, very long narration, and it is a narration that he himself narrates. He himself is telling us the story of what took place and how, you know, difficult the circumstances were for him. But what we'll do is we'll skip the beginning of it, we'll go towards the end where Ka'b ibn Malik, he says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade the Muslims, all the other companions, from speaking to the three of us who had not gone out with him. And so the people began to avoid us, and their attitude towards us changed, and it seemed as if the whole atmosphere had turned against us. And it was in fact the same atmosphere of which I was fully aware and in which I had lived for a fairly long time. He says, we spent 50 nights in this very state, and my two companions, they confined themselves to their house. As for me, because I was the youngest and the strongest, I would leave my house. I would attend Salatul Jama'ah. I would attend Salah in the masjid. and move about in the markets, but no one would speak to me. I would come to the Messenger of Allah as he sat among his people. And after the salah, I would greet him. I would say, Assalamu alaikum, and would ask myself, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam return salam to me or not? And so I would perform salah near him, and I would look at him, glancing at him, to see whether or not he would return my salam. When I finished my salah, he would look at me, and when I would look at him, he would turn his eyes away from me. When the harshest treatment of the Muslims to me continued for a considerable long time, I walked and I climbed upon the wall of the garden of my cousin Abu Qatada, who, you know, I had a very good relationship with. I greeted him, and by Allah, he did not return my greeting. I said to him, O Abu Qatada, I call you by the name of Allah. Are you not aware that I love Allah and His Messenger? I asked him the same question again, and he did not reply back to me. I again called upon him, whereupon he said, Allah and His Messenger know better. And so my eyes filled with tears, and I came back climbing down the wall. Ka'b goes on to tell us of the very extremely difficult situation that he was in. He says, as I was walking around in the markets of Medina, a man from Syria, who had come from Syria, he came and he was selling his goods in Medina, in the markets. And he asked the people to direct him to Ka'b ibn Malik, to me. So the people, they pointed towards me. So he came to me and he delivered a letter from the king of Ghassan, an area in Syria. And Ka'b, he tells us, I was a scribe. I knew how to read and write. So I read the letter, and this is what was mentioned in it. The king of Ghassan, he says, it has been conveyed to us. It has reached us that your friend, your companion, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has been treating you harshly. Allah has not created you for a place in which you should be degraded, you should be humiliated, and where you cannot find your rightful place. So come to us, and we will treat you in the best of manners. And as I read that letter, I said, this too is a test. This too is another test. And what did he do? He says, I put it in the oven and I burnt it. And then he says, when 40 days went by, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no revelation came to him. And so he sent someone to the three of them and told them to stay away from your wives. Don't have sexual relations with your wives. And so the test became even greater. Finally, we go to the end of the narration where the relief and aid of Allah comes and the revelation comes. And basically, this revelation mentioned how Allah had accepted their repentance. And so Allah revealed these verses in Surah At-Tawbah, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا كَادَ يَزِيغُ قُلُوبُ فَرِيقٍ مِّنْهُمْ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّهُ بِهِمْ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah says, Allah has forgiven the Prophet and the Muhajirun and the Ansar who followed him in the very difficult time, meaning the Battle of Tabuk, after the hearts of a party of them had nearly deviated. But he accepted their repentance. Certainly, Allah, He is the most kind and the most merciful. Then Allah says, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. And also He accepted the repentance of the three, meaning these three companions. حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ الْأَرْضِ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. These three companions, these three individuals, Allah accepted their repentance. These three individuals who went through very, very difficult times until the earth, although it was wide, it became very narrow for them. And they thought that there is no way to flee from Allah except to flee to Him. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He accepted their repentance. What do we learn from this tremendous story? What we learn from it is that this great companion, he did not lie to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He spoke the truth that yes, I did not go out with you. I could have lied like the hypocrites had lied, but I didn't. And so we understand that he was tested. He was extremely tested, greatly tested, to the point where he was invited by the king from outside of Arabia to come and we'll treat you nicely. Look at how humiliated you're being treated. However, after all that, he did not give up. He did not give up hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He remained steadfast, persevered, and remained steadfast and patient. This is how the strangers of today should be. No matter what difficulty we face, we have to remain steadfast, persevere, and we will never face the same difficulties that those companions faced, for they are the best of the generations of Islam. With that, we come to the end of today's episode. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us steadfast and to make us persevere upon every single difficulty that we face upon this straight path. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.